Okay, good morning. This week's shiur is sponsored anonymously, so thank you for that. Welcome to all the newcomers. Welcome back to everybody else. What we did last year, over the winter, we were learning the halachas of Lama Tes Malachos. Over the summer, we did the positive commandments of Shabbos, just to have something more light. Before Yontif, we did Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And so now we're going to go back to the halachas of Lama Tes Malachos. What we had started at the end of the last section of Lama Tes Malachos, we started from the beginning of the Lama Tes Malachos. We did Zareya, Chayrish, and Kaitzer. We learned the halachas of having kiddush outside, and seeds outside, and flower pots and plants. Chayrish, right? We did dragging benches and playing sports outside, which was very controversial, and high heels and canes and strollers. We did kaitzer, right? Quick review. We did all the halachas of using a tree, swings on a tree. We spoke about your swing outside your house.
What was the consensus? No good, right?
We'll talk about it afterwards. You could ask everybody else.
We just say no good.
Hammocks and tree houses and things like that. Dosh and Zayra, we're going to skip the halachos of Dosh, whatever we need to know. Bez Hashem, if we have the schus to learn Malabin, we'll talk about Schita then. We did many classes on Teichen, we did already, and Merakid, we're going to skip, and Losh is going to be the next topic we're going to do today. Losh, the halachos of kneading things on Shabbos. I hope no one was expecting to do the halachos of Bishul today. Bez Hashem, next time we will start the halachos of Bishul, of cooking and baking on Shabbos, hot plates and blechs and crock pots and lots of enjoyable things. But today we're going to discuss the halachos of Losh, of kneading things together on Shabbos. So the translation of the word Losh is to bind together small particles to form one single body through the use of a binding agent, meaning we have two parts. Every Losh mixture has two components. There's the small food particles, and then there's the binding agent. So we're going to take each one separately. The classic case of Dosh, of to form, you know, one single body, that is the classic case of a bread dough. Not allowed to bake bread on Shabbos, of course. Bind it together, you have thousands of tiny flour particles to fuse it into one single entity. And that's the binding agent over there, of course, is water, so that the flour blends together, mixes, it bonds, it fuses together to make one single entity of a bread. So that is the classic case that's not allowed on Shabbos. So again, we have the small food particles and we have the binding agent. And let's take each one separately. Just before we get into that, an important halacha to know, that if it's in its own natural juices, then we say that's not losh, that's not a problem. So you're allowed to smash a banana. We discussed in the halachas of teichen, the halachas of mashing bananas and avocados and things like that. That's as far as teichen is concerned, so you have to avoid the teichen. But as far as losh, losh is not an issue when it comes to its own natural juices. So if you get around the problem of teichen, let's say you just use the back of a fork or the back of a knife to avoid the teichen issues like we discussed back then, losh is not going to be an issue when you're using the own natural juices of a food or a fruit or vegetable. It's only if you use a different liquid, you bring in a different liquid to something else, which we'll discuss many cases. But as far as its own natural juices, that we say, that is not a problem. So Rav Moshe, the Chazon Ish, many paskin. One other halacha, the we paskin, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins and other paskin paskin, that the halachos of the halachos of Losh is even by non-gedulei karka, meaning we were discussing in other areas. By teichen, we discussed it, gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground, fruits and vegetables. Rav Moshe paskins that Losh is even by non-gedulei karka, and that's why we're going to give examples of eggs and tuna fish and chopped liver, all of which are items that do not grow from the ground, but still Losh applies by those cases. So the first part was the small food particles. What is considered small? What's considered small food particles that we have a problem of Losh? So the halacha is that when they're small enough that when they're in a mixture, they're not individually recognizable. They're not individually recognizable. They're fused together, like the classic example that we gave before was a bread dough. Of course, the flour, once it's fused together into a dough, each flour particle is not recognizable by itself. That's why there's a problem of Losh by a bread. So as long as it's close enough together, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah says it, it's close enough together that you can't tell the pieces one from another, it's all one mass, then that is a problem of lush. Let's say a bowl of baby cereal. If you have an oatmeal cereal or baby cereal or baby oatmeal cereal, so usually once it's mixed together with a liquid, so you can't differentiate between each oat, you know, particle, each grain of oats. So there, that would be a problem of lush. We'll have to see, how do we get around it? How do we avoid it? You can't tell the borders between each of the oat grains, so therefore that would be a problem of lush. But if the bits are large enough that they could be seen separately, then the Mishnah Berurah says that is not a problem. So let's say as far as Rice Krispie treats on Shabbos. So if you take, let's say you take marshmallow and you put it together with the Rice Krispies. Okay, so my wife tells me that it's not practical to make Rice Krispie treats on Shabbos because you have to cook up the marshmallows, and if you would do it before Shabbos, it would get all hard. But that is just, if you can think about it, each Rice Krispie by itself is noticeable. Even after it's mixed together, it's noticeable each piece by itself. So that is not a problem. You'll see you have lumpy bits of potatoes with mayonnaise. You want to make a potato salad. So the pieces of the potatoes are noticeable by itself. That's not a problem of lush to mix it with mayonnaise on Shabbos. Let's say you're making tuna fish and you're making a chunky tuna salad, chunky tuna fish. So if it's chunky, so then even if you stir it with mayonnaise, but since it's chunky and each piece of the tuna is recognizable by itself, that's not considered lush, and you could do that in a regular fashion on Shabbos. Egg salad. Now, a lot of times the egg salad, the egg crumbles, the yolk crumbles, and they're not noticeable each piece by itself. But if you can make it in a way, the egg salad, you can make it in a way that it's noticeable each piece by itself. Also, that is a way to avoid lush. So you're making homemade chopped liver, and you want to mix it with oil or some other type of liquid, vinegar, whatever you put. My wife told me you put an oil in chopped liver. So if you mix it with the oil, but if it's homemade and you're making it that it's still lumpy pieces, and it's noticeable each piece by itself, then that's also not lush with the liver. Banana slices with sour cream, if you like that. You could make slices of bananas and mix it with the sour cream. That is not a problem because each piece of the banana is, even though you have the liquid, which is considered the sour cream, and the particles are the banana, but if it's sliced and each one is noticeable by itself, then those are all not problems of lush. As far as the binding agent, so any liquid could be a problem of the binding agent by lush. There's water, there's oil, lemon juice, apple juice, vinegar, milk, wine, baby formula, could be any type of liquid. And the liquid could be, as we just mentioned, even a coagulated substance. It could be mayonnaise, honey, ketchup, mustard. If any type of liquid, we use the word liquid very vaguely, but it's that could be all included in the binding agent that could bind together other small food particles. So now this is only when that binding agent binds the food together. But if you have milk and cereal, so fortunately that's not a problem. Besides that, the cereal is, each piece is noticeable by itself, but the milk by no means does it bind any of the food together. So that's not a problem. If you have a salad, you want to make a vegetable salad, so even if the pieces are very, very chopped up, you're making a coleslaw, and it would not be a problem because it doesn't bind the coleslaw together. It doesn't bind the salad together. So if you want to put an oil or vinegar or some type of dressing, mayonnaise, those are all okay because it doesn't bind the vegetables together. You have chunks of fruit with sour cream, also besides the fact that they're probably noticeable by itself, but even if it's crushed up and it would make it stick together, but if it makes it stick together, then it wouldn't be a problem. But if it doesn't stick together, it's just very, very small pieces, but it's all just in the same bowl, then that is also not a problem. So far, this has all been very simple. We discussed the binding agent, and we discussed the food particles, set some exceptions where it's not a problem. So far, that's easy. Here it gets a little bit technical. There's really two steps to any lush process. There's two steps, and each one by itself can be forbidden. Each one by itself can be usur. Step number one is the pouring of the liquid into something. You have the food particles, and you pour the liquid into it, or if it's a coagulated substance, then it's not really pouring, but you pour the liquid into it. That is step number one, and if that automatically causes something to fuse together, that by itself is forbidden. That's step number one, and step one by itself is already considered lush. There's a machlekes, which we'll talk about shortly more. Is that step number one, is that forbidden on a deraisa level, or is that forbidden only on a derabanan level? we're going to see there's going to be a big difference between Daraisa and Midrabanan in regards to Lash. Usually it's not so much of a difference, you're not allowed to do it anyway. But over here, it's going to be a difference. Step number one is forbidden. We'll discuss if that's forbidden on a Daraisa level or on a Dirabana level. Step number two is the mixing, is the stirring. That is also forbidden, meaning even if technically you pour something in before Shabbos, so that of course is permitted, if you come and you stir it, you mix it on Shabbos, that is also forbidden by itself. That for sure is forbidden on a Daraisa level if it fits all the other prerequisites that we said before, that it binds it together. If you stir it, that already is, that step number two, that is also forbidden, and that is forbidden for sure on a Daraisa level. So we're going to have to take each one of these steps separately. Just it's important to know, if you pour in, the step number one that you pour in the liquid, if you pour in so much liquid that it turns into a watery mixture, it's just a watery mixture, it's what we call a dover nozzle, then that is also totally mutter. So if let's say you have chocolate milk from a powder, or coffee from a powder, instant coffee. So over there, you pour in the liquid, now that, for sure, that binds together all those powders, it's all together as one now, but since that just turns into a watery mixture, and it's just a cup of tea, if you have a instant tea, or coffee, or chocolate milk, or cocoa, whatever it is, over there, since it turns into a watery mixture, that also is not considered lush, that is not a problem. Just one thing that the Paiskim say, you have to be careful, is that when you pour it in, you have to pour it all, when you pour in the water, you have to pour it all in at once, at the same time. And that is because if you pour it in slowly, let's say you pour it in slowly, you just want to see, I don't know, you want to test it out, or you want to look at it, or you want to show somebody. So if you pour it in slowly, so then you pour a little bit of the water into the coffee grains, or into the chocolate powder, or whatever it is, the cocoa powder, there, that already is lush. Maybe it's forbidden midiraisa, maybe it's forbidden midirabanan, but that already, if you pour it in slowly, that is forbidden already once you pour it in, because it coagulates right away, like, as you know. You have to pour it in all at once. That is just halacha you have to be careful for. Hold on one second. Just a quick reminder, when we discussed the halachas of tzoveya, that was way back in the beginning, we discussed halachas of tzoveya, we discussed that when you're coloring something on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so we said that by food, usually there's no tzoveya, right? Because I don't care what color my coffee is. Okay, we call black coffee, but that has nothing to do with the color. We don't really care about the color. Just we said that the Mishnah Berurah did not bring this chumrah, but the Shaar Tzion somewhere else brought a chumrah by tzeveya, and I had asked Rabbi Sachs, if you remember, he said you should try to be machmir with it, that some people are machmir when they make coffee or tea with water specifically, there's an extra chumrah by tzeveya, by coloring on Shabbos, that you should do it in a different order. You should do the water first, and then you put in what's normal is by dyeing paint, what they did in the Mishkan, normally what they did is they had the water first and then they put in the coffee grains. So on Shabbos, some people are makbid that they put in the coffee grains first, or the cocoa powder first, and then they put in the water. So over here by Lush, if you do that, to be makbid like that, you have the grains first, you should be careful just when you pour in the water, to pour in the water all in a lot at once. If you try to be makbid on that, which we said preferably you should be makbid about that, they put in the grains first to do it in a little bit of a different order, you should just make sure to pour in the liquid all at once to avoid the lush problem. Yeah.
Okay, now I was just
going
to ask you, the way I always make coffee is I thought that you were supposed to put the grains on top of the water.
Because of bishul, okay, you have to come back next week. We'll talk about the lachas of bishul. But let's say you have a kli shlishi and you avoid all the bishul problems. You have a kli shlishi, and let's say that's not a problem. You're right. You have to keep in mind as far as bishul. But in regards to other halachas that we're discussing now, what you're referring to is because there's, if you put the grains first and then you pour the water, so then you're not using a kli shlishi. You're not using kli shlishi. You're using iri kli rishon. Bez Hashem, we'll discuss that in the following weeks. But let's say you avoid all of that and you already use the kli shlishi. Let's say the bishul is not an issue.
Thank you.
You had a question? Oh, that's what you're going to ask us?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that thing.
Okay, so we'll worry about that then. But we'll talk about that when that comes. Okay, so now, how is it possible to do lush on Shabbos? In the cases where you want to use a liquid that's going to bind things together, you want to make tuna fish for Shalosh Shiddus or whatever, you want to make egg salad Shabbos morning, you want to make chopped liver, so how do you go about by making it permitted that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos? So there's two types of mixtures that we need to discuss. This is what we call a blilosai ava, a thick mixture. Ava means thick, and a blila means a mixture. that a blilasa ava, a thick mixture, is aser midairaisa. That is forbidden to do on Shabbos. It's aser midairaisa on a Torah level. And there's a second type of mixture that's a blilosai raka, that the mixture is a thin mixture, it's a loose type of mixture, and we'll say examples in a moment. There, that is only forbidden on a derabanan level. So blilosai ava, a thick mixture, is also midaraisa, that's more strict, and a blilosai raka is only forbidden on a derabanan level. To make it permitted, so a blilasei ava, that is a thick mixture, to make it permitted, you need to use a major shinui. A shinui we discussed, I believe, in other classes. A shinui means to do something in an irregular manner. Many times on Shabbos, when you do something in an irregular manner, that doesn't make it totally permitted, that just makes it permitted on a deraisa level, makes it midirabanan permitted. Over here, by Lisha, by Lash, and we discussed this by Teichen as well, by Lash, once you do something with the proper shinui, with the proper change, that makes it totally permitted. So we need to discuss what is the proper shinui, what is the proper change. But by blilasei ava, a thick mixture, you need to use a major shinui. You need to use a major shinui, which we'll discuss what that is. By blilasei raka, that's only forbidden on a derabana level, that is sufficient to use a minor shinui. A minor shinui, a small shinui, a small change. Of course, it's allowed to use a major shinui by blilasei raka, that's for sure. But that is allowed, by blilasei raka, you're allowed to use a minor shinui. So first we need to know what is a blilasei ava and what is a blilasei raka. What's considered a thick mixture and what's considered a loose mixture. A blilasei ava is a mass that doesn't flow when it's poured. If you would take this mixture and you would try to pour it, it wouldn't flow easily. Also, if it pours very, very slowly, that's also considered as if it doesn't pour. That's the Chazon Ish and the Vosner. So a dough, a bread, or a cooking dough, of course, is the blilasei ava. Egg salad, a tuna salad, chopped liver, charoses, baby cereal, if it's made of a thick consistency, those are all blilasei ava. Those, if you would take one of those mixtures, it wouldn't pour. If you would try and pour it from one container to another, it doesn't pour exactly. That is a thick mixture. A blilasei raka is when it's one mass, but it still flows, it pours very easily. If it's not one mass, then it's totally mutter. So it is one mass, but it flows very easily. A lot of times you have a baby cereal that's made into a very loose batter. Maybe it depends on the age of the child, how you decide to make it. Or like a cake batter, that flows very easily. Those are included in a blilasei raka, and for those, it'll be sufficient to have a minor shinui, which we need to discuss now, what is considered a major shinui and what is considered a minor shinui. Yeah.
How about like if you make like a salad dressing?
So if it's
what are you mixing the
mayonnaise with the salad?
No, I'm just thinking just making the dressing.
Just making the dressing.
Like mayonnaise and vinegar.
So
and sugar. Mayonnaise, vinegar, sugar.
Right. Mayonnaise, vinegar, and sugar. So you have the vinegar. So. Yeah. I think we're going to find out at the end of the class when, if we talk about that, mayonnaise, vinegar, and sugar, I don't think the vinegar, it makes the mayonnaise thicker or makes the mayonnaise, if anything, looser?
Looser.
So then that's not a problem. I was going to save that for the end. Okay, but if you're just making the dressing by itself, the mayonnaise by itself is not a solid. Okay. So you're taking even if it is a solid, but when you take the vinegar and you add it to the mayonnaise, you're making the mayonnaise looser, right? So then, that to making it looser, that is not a problem. If you want to add it to the salad afterwards, that is a different discussion. But as far as making that dressing itself, you're making the anything. If you want to consider the mayonnaise as the mixture and the vinegar as your liquid binding agent, there, that's not a problem whatsoever to do on Shabbos because you're making the mayonnaise looser. I think a student of mine asked me that specific question. That must have been what she's talking about, the dressing. She wanted to know if you can mix a liquid with mayonnaise, so probably she was referring to some type of dressing that she was making. And I told her that that's not a problem, because if anything, you're making it looser. Lush is always making something more clumpy. So let's discuss now the shinuis. We have a blilasei ava that needs a major shinui, and a blilasei raka that needs a minor shinui. So, just as a heads up, the shinuyim we're about to say, these are the shinuyim, these are the changes that the Mishnah Berurah brings in the halacha, and it's based on earlier pesukim. A person can't make up their own shinui, their own change, to make it decide, like we discussed by Teichen also. You can't make up your own shinui, you have to go with what the Mishnah Berurah says and what the pesukim tell us. So, We're going to go first with the stirring. Again, we said before that the two steps to lush is the pouring in. We'll get to that afterwards. The stirring is step number two. That is forbidden on a deraisa level when it's a bilosei ava. When it's a bilosei raka, it will be on a derabana level. So let's discuss the shinuyim, the changes for the stirring. The first shinui, the first change, is to do it what we call shesi ve'erev in a crisscross fashion. Could be something that you've heard of. Usually when we mix something, we stir in a circular motion. Over here, you need to stir it in a crisscross fashion. This is considered a major shinui, and it's enough for a bilasei ava. So if you want to mix your chopped liver or your egg salad or your tuna fish, that you need to one of the shinuis you could do is to do it in a crisscross fashion. Normally during the week, you would move around and around and around to mix like that, the mayonnaise into the tuna. You need to do it forward and across. Forward and across in a crisscross fashion. Now the Chazon Ish says that it's best if in between each crisscross you take the fork or the spoon, whatever it is, the utensil, out of the food. If you take it out between each time. Now that is an extra chumrah. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains the Chazon Ish that it's really just to be careful because we're afraid if you don't take it out in between each crisscross, then you may come to do it in a circular fashion. But if you're confident that when you do the crisscross, you know you've been doing this for a long time and you know that each time you'll do it across, you know, towards you and then across, and you won't come by mistake to do it in a circular fashion, so then you don't have to take it out between each time. But it's just like a Eitzah Tova, a good idea to take out this utensil between each time, this way to make sure you don't do it in a circular fashion. But that is shinui number one, and that is a major shinui that's enough for tuna fish or for egg salad. Egg salad will be help. If anyways, you could do it before Shabbos. But let's say Shalosh Shudis, you want to make a tuna fish for Shalosh Shudis. That is one way that you could add the mayonnaise in, and you'll do it in a crisscross fashion as far as the stirring. Number two, another shinui, which is also a major shinui, which is sufficient for a bilasei ava, and of course it's sufficient for bilasei raka, is to mix it with your bare hands. Now, when we say of course, this is a major shinui. We would never do this during the week. The Chazon Ish says that if you mix it with your bare hands, that's considered like donkey food. He says that you mix animal food, a farmer, whoever it is, mixes animal food there, they'll mix it with their bare hands if they don't mind getting dirty. But as far as the food is concerned, you mix it with your bare hands, that is considered a major shinui. Now, took the words right out of my mouth. I know someone who is not here today mentioned, I think, that she does it with gloves. The Chazon Ish says you are not allowed to wear gloves. It has to be with your bare hands. Now, you're making faces, but that's the whole idea. That's considered a shinui. When you do it with your bare hands, that is considered a shinui. It's considered a major shinui.
You can eat the dough with your bare hands. People do
anyway. That's a good point. As far as dough, the halacha is that the place can say that if it's something that you normally do with your bare hands, then that's not considered a shinui. So as far as a dough, that's a good point. A dough... something like cereal or tuna fish or egg salad or chopped liver that we've been saying, that is never done with your bare hands, even if no one's watching and it's for somebody else. You're not going to do it with your bare hands. So there you would be allowed to do it with your bare hands without any crisscross fashion or anything like that, because that is considered a major shinui. It could be, I saw in a different sefer, it was hard to understand what he was saying. Could be there are those that argue and say that you are allowed to wear gloves. One thing's for sure is that the Chazon Ish says you're not allowed to wear gloves. And I saw in the Shabbos kitchen of Simcha Ben Kohen, he goes along with that Chazon Ish that you should not be wearing gloves if you choose to do it in that fashion. And this is also a major shinui. Right, it's only if it's normally not done like that. And this is a major shinui that is used for a bilasei ava. Shinui number three, now this shinui number three is considered a minor shinui, it's only considered a minor change, and therefore it's not going to help for tuna fish or egg salad or chopped liver and things like that. It's only going to help for, let's say, a baby cereal or an oatmeal mix that is considered loose. That is if you use the handle of a spoon or a fork or a knife. You use the handle. And once you use the handle, you use it in a regular circular fashion. But since you're using the handle, that is somewhat of a shinui. It's a little bit of a change. It's not a major change, it's just a small change, so therefore that is enough, and that only works for bilasei raka. We were just talking about you, because I think you mix your tuna fish with your gloves. Right, so that is, we said that that's not allowed on Shabbos. Sorry.
Why?
Because we said, we'll just fill you in very, very quickly. As far as mixing something that's a thick mixture, like tuna fish or egg salad or chopped liver, so we said we need to use a major shinui, and a major shinui brought down in the Paiskim is to use your bare hands. And the Chazon Ish says that it means literally with your bare hands and without gloves. We said perhaps there are some Paiskim that disagree and say you are allowed to use gloves, but one thing's for sure, the Chazon Ish says clearly that it should not be, that when we say bare hands, it means literally with your bare hands and to not wear gloves. We'll talk about more later. Fine. That's as far as step number two. That's step number two as far as the stirring, the mixing. So we said three shinuis, three changes to stir something on Shabbos, and two, the first two are usable for the B'lulasei Ava, and the third is only allowed for B'lulasei Raka. As far as the first step that we discussed before, the pouring in, so that also needs to be done with a shinui. When you pour a binding agent into the food particles, if that causes it to bind right away, that also, that we said that is lush, and that needs to be done in a manner of a shinui. So now a shinui for the pouring in is to, as we mentioned before in regards to tzeveya, that the shinui is for the shini haseder, to change the order of the way that it's normally combined. So let's say you're making an oatmeal cereal. So you're pouring in, let's say, hot water, and let's say the cooking is not a problem. Let's say you use a klei shlishi like we discussed before. So you're pouring in hot water into a baby cereal or an oatmeal type of instant oatmeal that you could make like that.
Instant
so
oatmeal's okay. I mean, I know baby cereal works with this, but also like Quaker instant oatmeal.
As far as what? As far as cooking?
Yeah.
As far as cooking, let's assume it was cooked already in the factory and it's not a problem of
bishop.
We'll discuss it when we get there. I think so. You don't cook that oatmeal. I think it was cooked before. So you have to check in. I think it was pre-cooked in the factory.
Right.
So that's why it's not a problem. That's why ain't bishul acha bishul. Not a problem. As far as bishul. Okay. I see it's hard to avoid bishul. So as far as pouring it in, what's considered pouring in a different order? Normally, I think, I don't like oatmeal cereal, but I think the normal way is to put in the food, the oatmeal first, and then you pour in the liquid. So if as far as the pouring in, that coagulates right away, that fuses together right away, unless you make it a liquidy mixture, which we were discussing before, but you're not doing that. It's somewhat of a blilasei raka. So over there, what we do first is put into the bowl the liquid. Let's say, again, avoiding bishul problems, and you put in the liquid, And then you put in the food part. If you're not sure what's considered normal, the food or the liquid, so then Rav Scheinberg says you could look at the ingredients and directions on the side of the container. And if you normally do the side of the container during the week, so then you do what it says, the opposite of the side of the container. If it's normal to do either one, let's say it's a type of thing where it doesn't make a difference and no one ever makes a difference which way is done. So actually, there are some paiskim that say, the Chazon Ish says, that therefore you can't do it on Shabbos because there's no way to make a shinui because both of them are considered normal. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that the Mishnah Berurah says that in such a case you could do the solid first. That's considered a shinui, even though it's normal to do it both ways, but you do the solid first because that's what the Gemara says. Fine, that's in a situation where it's normal to do either way. But as far as the shinui has said there, so that is considered a shinui, to change the order of how you're pouring it in. But very important, this changing of the order is only a minor shinui. So similar to what we were talking about before, the stirring, if you stir with the back of the hand, the back of a fork or a spoon, was a minor shinui. That's only enough for b'lasei raka. For here, that is considered also a minor shinui. So therefore, this minor shinui of changing the order of pouring in can be used for a b'lasei raka, for a loose mixture, or for a thick mixture. It's only allowed to be used b'makom hadchak, only if you really, really need to. Because like we said before, I'll say it clear, we said before that step number one, the pouring in, is a machlokes, is that midiraisa or is that midirabanan? So by a loose mixture, anyways, it's midirabanan. So then changing the order is sufficient. But by a thick mixture, perhaps it's deraisa, perhaps it's midirabanan, step number one. So therefore the Paiskim tell us that you're only allowed to use it if you really, really need to. For a stam, a regular adult, you shouldn't be using it, but for an elderly individual, or for a sick person, or for a child, or in extenuating circumstances, there we say that even for step number one, for a thick mixture, you could change the order. Not that you could just do it regular, but you could change the order, which is a minor shinui for something that in a shasat chak will rely that is only midrabanan. Again, if let's say raka, like a oatmeal or a baby cereal that is a loose mixture, anyways, that's midrabanan. But a thick mixture that the pouring in already coagulates it a little bit, that is only allowed in a situation like that. Yeah.
Do you have to do both shinuis?
100%. You have to do both shinuis if it would apply. If the pouring in of the liquid already bonds it together a little bit, you need to have a shinui in step number one. And then when you stir it, you have to have the proper shinui in step number two. Because like we said before, each step is by itself is lush. Step number two is for sure forbidden midaraisa. Step number one is perhaps midaraisa, perhaps midarabanan. So they were able to be lenient in a case of a bilasai ava in a dire situation for step number one. But yes, we need the proper shinui for both step number one and for step number two. Yeah.
Just I always have this with baby cereal with my measurements are off. So okay. Let's say I put in the water, right, and then I put in too much cereal, and then it's too thick for the babies. Do I have to throw it out?
So once it's too thick for the babies, meaning, but let's say you mixed it and you mix it in the proper ways, and now you have finished mixing it in the proper shinui, and you take a look at it and it's too thick.
Yes.
Right? So that's similar to what we discussed before with the mayonnaise, that if you add water to it to make it looser, that's not a problem. It's not a problem.
But with baby cereal, when you add the water, it congeals right away.
So what we said before was...
No, because you said it's a loose mixture.
Yeah.
A thick mixture would be that it congeals right away. This...
No, a loose mixture also could congeal right away. But if it turns into so loose that it's a liquidy, it's totally liquidy, then that is permitted. If you pour it in very fast all at once, then we say that's not a problem. Similar to coffee, tea, and hot cocoa, if it's something like a baby syrup that's totally, totally liquidy, but they're usually not.
Really,
it's not like that.
Not.
Right? So therefore...
So
it's considered a bilasai raka. It depends how you make the baby cereal. Most of them, are, I would imagine... It depends how thick it is. I don't depend, maybe, like we said, it may depend on the age of the child. If it's something that when you pour it, if you would pick up the bowl, the cup, and you would pour it, it would flow easily, then that's a bilasai raka. If it's chunky and it would flow very, very slowly, then that would be a bilasai ava. It could depend.
Then you would
need the major shina. Yeah, it depends. The oatmeal and the baby formula, and the baby cereals, those can really depend on how you make it. It could really depend on how you make it. If you make it in more of a thicker mixture, then yeah, it would be considered bilasai ava. Yeah. If it's something that doesn't need the second step, there are some type of things like a baby cereal that you don't need to mix it. Once you mix it in by itself, it just maybe it depends on how much liquid you put in, how much of the food you put in. If it doesn't need a second step whatsoever, you don't need to stir it at all, maybe that's the type that you were referring to, I don't know. But if it was some type of baby cereal or some type of oatmeal or instant oatmeal, they say instant potatoes also perhaps, I like that you don't need to mix it at all. It's not true? You have to mix it? You have to mix it. Okay, so scratch that. But I think Ramesh just said that. But if it's something that you don't need to mix at all, so then step number one is for sure midaraisa. Okay, again, we said before that step number one is perhaps midaraisa, perhaps midarabanan, and therefore for a child, for a sick person, you're allowed to rely on those that say it's midarabanan. If there is no step number two by this food, you don't need to stir it, then step number one is automatically a midaraisa, because this is the only lush process being done over here by this particular food. So then that's midaraisa, then you need the major shinui, and the changing of the order is not a major shinui, so then you will not be able to do it. Right, you would have to have a major shinui, and as far as the adding in of the food, there's no major shinui.
But could there be a major shinui in the pouring?
There's no major shinui in the pouring. There, the Paiskim don't say, even if you pour it backhanded or something like that,
so
that's
how
not.
How can you do something like that? If there's no stirring involved.
So if there's no stirring involved, then the step number one is for sure midaraisa. So then we say that there's no way out. There's no way out. Sand in a sandbox, right? When we had our five classes on muksa, we discussed sand. We said that sand in a sandbox is not muksa because it's designated before Shabbos as a toy. So sand is not muksa, but the kids are playing in the sand, and even if they're above chinuch, you let them play in the sand, but they should not pour water into the sandbox. You know, it's enjoyable. You make some type of tower, you make some type of castle, whatever it is, but the pouring of the water in the sand is, right, lush is even by non-foods. We were talking earlier about non-gedulei karka, but it's for sure by non-foods as well. If they're above the age of chinuch, they should not be pouring water into the sand to make it hard, because that is considered lush. Lush is not only, and we already touched on this before, lush is not only adding liquids to a solids, but it's also, if you already have a mixture and you're adding more solids to it. So let's just first discuss what you asked before, as far as adding more liquid to it. If you add more liquid to it and you make something looser, then that is not a problem because you're making it looser on Shabbos. So you're allowed to add oil to tuna fish, you're allowed to add milk to a baby cereal that would technically stick together. If you want to make it looser, like that was the example you asked, that you see, you already did the proper shinus, then you see it's too thick, you're allowed to add to it. Oil that, let's say you open up a yogurt or a peanut butter and you see there's oil on the top, so you're allowed to mix it in. Could be there's other reasons why that's permitted anyway, but over there, if anything, that makes the peanut butter, makes the yogurt looser because you're adding in those liquids, so then that's not a problem of lush. Again, like I said, it could be anyways, those would be permitted for other reasons, but over there, that's for sure not a problem. Just something you have to be careful when you start adding these liquids, that if there's some particles in your baby cereal, or, okay, mayonnaise, with your case of the dressing, is maybe it's not an issue, but if there's some particles that are not fused in yet, and then you start adding the mixture, so yes, maybe most of it will become looser, but some of it will now be bound together. So that you have to be very, very careful. If you're 100% positive that the entire mixture is mixed very well, and now you just want to make it looser, then yes, it's not a problem. But if some of the particles have not been mixed in totally altogether, and then now you add liquids, yes, so most of it is coming looser, but those particles are now binding together in the first place, then that will not be allowed unless you have the proper shinui for adding it in.
So how about they say with the dressing? So say you have sugar in it. Someone else mentioned like putting sugar, whatever. That's sugar also.
Okay.
The sugar, when you're adding...
So you're saying the sugar that will stick together. So that dissolves.
Now
it doesn't turn into a liquidy like we were discussing by the cocoa powder and the coffee.
Sugar does turn into a liquid. It dissolves into the liquid.
Yeah, I mean, but the whole mixture is not a liquidy mixture. I mean, it's just like it's like a mayonnaise dressing. Although maybe that if you mix it very well, that would be considered a liquid.
Maybe the sugar is less, small enough, small on the middle, not like making
it. There's no sheer. It's even a teeny, teeny bit.
The binding.
Let me look into it. I think it will be okay if the sugar totally dissolves. And I have to look back at the paiskim that said by the coffee and the cocoa and the tea, that what's the nikud exactly? Is it just simply because it's liquidy, or is it because that the food dissolves? If it dissolves, then over here as well it will be permitted. If it's, yeah.
Put the vinegar
have a
paisik,
first.
Put the vinegar in first, and the sugar will surely dissolve. Then when you add the mayonnaise,
put the vinegar in first. That's a good idea. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes it does.
If you mix it,
you put the vinegar in first, meaning you put the sugar and the vinegar together. That's liquidy totally.
And
then you put in the mayonnaise.
The mayonnaise, and you have a problem.
Okay, I hear. Okay, could be. Okay, that's a good idea. I have to look into that more, but if that works, then that'll definitely be a good idea. As far as adding solids to a mixture, so if you make it thicker, then you have to be careful about that. Meaning, if you have, let's say you have an egg salad and you want to add like vegetable bits to it, or you want to add some more solids to an existing mixture, so then if those solids that now you are adding become now bound together, then also you have to be careful about that, and if you would have to stir it more, you'd have to do it with the proper shinui. If it's already a thick mixture and nothing is really getting thicker over there, nothing's really being bound more together, and then it seems like from the paiskim that then it's not a problem. But you have to be careful. It's not just simply making something new. If you already have something over there, if you're making it more liquidy, then we said it would not be a problem. But if you already have, let's say you have chopped liver and you want to add mashed eggs into it, so then you want to stir eggs into the liver, you have to stir it in the proper shinui. If you would, now these eggs are now all of a sudden becoming closer and bound together. Again, if it's chopped and you can't tell the particles one from another, like we said before, then also over there you have to do with the proper shinui. As far as the pouring in, let's say by these solids, when you're adding solids to other solids, or you're adding mayonnaise to a tuna fish, the pouring in over there, that doesn't coagulate right away. Just keep in mind, every time we say that, as far as step number one, pouring in, it's only something that binds right away. If it's something like a coagulated substance, and for sure solids to solids, the step number one, you don't have to worry about whatsoever, right? Because nothing coagulates right away. It's only the stirring. You just lump two things together in a bowl, and it only starts fusing together once you stir it. Then you only need a shinui by the stirring. If it's a let's say ava, you need a major shinui. But the pouring in, like we said before, a case where there's no way out, the pouring in is not always an issue on Shabbos. If it's something that's thick, like mayonnaise, into something else that doesn't coagulate it in step number one, then in general, step number one is not a problem. Let's just finish with a quick review about Losh on Yontif, right? We had three classes on the Lachos of Yontif before Pesach. So almost all cases of Losh on Yontif, we said the guidelines for Yontif is, if it's a Oichel Nefesh activity, then it's something that would not be as good if you would do it before Yontif. So almost all cases of Losh wouldn't be as good if you would do it before Yontif. That's why there's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuf Vav that discusses the halachas of Losh on Yontif, because Losh, generally speaking, Losh is permitted to do on Yontif. Chopped liver, tuna, egg salad, all these examples, generally speaking, it's not as good done yesterday if it would be done today, and therefore I am allowed to do it today, and I'm allowed to use even a special kli for it, and I'm allowed to do it without any shinui, because we say that's what we said for Yontif. It's an ochel nefesh activity, it's a food preparation activity, and if we assume that it's not as good yesterday as today, then you are allowed to go ahead and do it on Yontif. As far as beating an egg, are you allowed to beat an egg on Shabbos? So beating an egg is not lush. It's not a problem of lush, because Reb Nissen Karelitz explains, because there's no liquid with a binding agent. It's all one food, and that all comes as one food. Both are considered liquid. He even says you just crack open an egg and you beat it in the bowl or whatever it is. That's not a problem of lush on Shabbos. However, you are still not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, why not? Anybody know?
Muxa?
No? Raw eggs, we said, are not muxa because it's edible. The reason is because it's maris ayin. That it's maris ayin, that it looks as if you're going to put it into the frying pan. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put things in the frying pan, of course. That's, we'll discuss in Bishul. When you beat an egg on Shabbos, so that is maris ayin, says the Mishnah Berurah, that it looks like you're going to put it into the frying pan. But on Yomtif, says the Shmir Shabbos Kochas, as you could figure out by yourself, Yomtif, you are allowed to put it in the frying pan. So therefore, you're allowed to beat an egg and put it in the frying pan on Yomtif. That's allowed on Yomtif because there's no Maris Ayin, because what it looks like you may want to do is permitted on Yomtif. To separate the yolk from the rest of, right, if you have a liquid egg and you could separate the yolk from the rest of the egg, so the Mishnah Berurah brings a machlokes in regards to that. He says, it's the discussion, is that considered bayir, is that considered one food or two foods? When we were discussing lochos of bayir, we said bayir is only by two different foods, or two different types, right? Stratego pieces are red and blue, those are considered two different types, two different minim. But over here, by an egg, there's a machloikis, is that considered all one food or not? The Mishnah Berurah says it's better to be machmir, not to separate that, meaning let's say you're not planning on beating it or whatever it is, and to separate that on Shabbos is preferable not to. However, Rabbi Yashiv says, I don't understand the logic 100%, but Rabbi Yashiv says that if it's a hard-boiled egg and the white and the yellow are already separate from each other, the yolk and the other part of the egg is already separate from each other, that you are allowed to separate on Shabbos, he says, because that is already now considered one food. It seemed as if he's saying that even according to those, that by the liquid it's not considered one food once it's already cooked and now it's a hard-boiled egg, so then that's all considered one food, and one food is not a problem to separate one from the other because it's only if it's two different foods. So there Rabbi Yashiv says you're allowed to separate an ayantif, meaning even the bad from the good, or even for later use, because we say that's all considered one food, and therefore it's not an issue of bayir on Shabbos. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we will b'siyata d'shmaya start halachos of Bishah.
Did you say you can separate? You can separate the meat and the meat?